invite forward Stephanie and John and children. And if the other children of the congregation would like to witness the baptism, go around. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Vivian May, according to your boundless mercy, and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the Holy Gospel. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. Children, you can stay. And as you witness this baptism, I invite you to take hold of your own baptism as you again renounce the devil and confess faith in the triune God. Vivian May, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe? Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Speaking on behalf of your daughter, John and Stephanie, I ask, Vivian May, do you desire to be baptized? Then say, yes, I do. Vivian May, I baptize you in the name of the Father.
Amen.
And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Vivian May the new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We implore you now that as she has become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you. We continue with the introit.
You will arise and have pity on Zion.
It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come.
Let this be recorded for a generation to come.
So that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord.
That he looked down from his holy height.
From heaven the Lord looked at the earth.
To hear the groans of the prisoners.
To set free those who were doomed to die.
That they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord.
And in Jerusalem his praise.
When peoples gather together,
and kingdoms to worship the Lord.
Oh. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Epiphany is from the book of the prophet Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the 7th month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing. Ready this day, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the 12th chapter. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, they all suffer together. If one member is honored, they all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in their church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at his gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard all these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O
Christ.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, again from the Gospel reading, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus. He unrolled it and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is our text. So it's probably going to sound a little bit like a strange question, but I want to start with it anyway. Have you considered the ear? The human ear? You might take just a second to glance at your neighbor's ear if you feel comfortable doing so. And you'll find that it's a marvelous thing, isn't it? And even more marvelous, God gave each of us two of them. Your hearing may not be great. It may be worse than it was when you were younger, but still, the human ear is a wonder of the body. And I know that staring at an ear does not sound like a profound exercise or a particularly spiritual exercise, but I want to share with you a story of one man. His name is Whitaker Chambers. He wrote his autobiography, I believe, in 1952, and it was staring at his daughter's ear that changed his world. It marked the beginning of his break from communism and his movement toward Christianity. In his autobiography, Witness, he tells the story like this. "I was sitting in our apartment on St. Paul Street in Baltimore. My daughter was in her high chair. I was watching her eat. She was the most miraculous thing that had ever happened in my life. My eye came to rest on the delicate convolutions of her ear, those intricate, perfect ears. The thought passed through my mind," remember, this is when he's still an active communist, "no, those ears were not created by any chance coming together of atoms in nature, the communist view. They could have been created only by immense design." By immense design. Two of them sitting on the sides of your head. We confess that God created us, body and soul. We believe that he has given us our eyes, ears, and all our members, our reason, our hearing, and all our senses, and still takes care of them. Today, we already have witnessed a little miracle when Vivian May, with her intricate, perfect ears, was brought to the waters of holy baptism, made a child of God. Her ears, right there through that word and water, have been opened by the Holy Spirit. And she has been born again to hear. To hear what? To hear the voice of her shepherd, Jesus Christ, and to follow where he leads. That's why we have ears. First, to hear him, and then to hear the voices of those around us. I think the ears are interesting as well because we can shut our eyes, we can close our mouths and hold our tongues, but our ears, that's another story. They're always open. We may learn to tune things out. We joke about having selective hearing. Some of us might have it and some of us might not. But our open ears are a gateway to our souls. And this is one of the things I want you to have in mind today. Our ears are a gateway to our souls. What we hear determines what we believe, and what we believe shapes who we are and how we live.
I want to think now about what Jesus heard. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the baptism of Christ, and you might recall that at his baptism, he heard the voice of his Father. The words were these: "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." And being a true man, he needed to hear those words. He needed those words when he was tempted in the wilderness. He needed them when the sad, the sick, and the hungry crowds pressed in against him. He needed them when the Pharisees and scribes challenged him and questioned him, and when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Judas betrayed him with a kiss, and when he stood before Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, and when they led him out to crucify him, and when he suffered in body and soul on the cross. "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." In so many moments in his life, he had a million reasons to think that that wasn't true. His reason and his senses, those nerves firing off as he was being crucified, wanted to yell at him and say, "You are not the beloved Son. The Father isn't actually pleased with you." But he knew what he'd heard, and he knew that it was true. And even in his suffering and death, he could be confident that he was beloved, that the Father was well pleased with him. I think about how important that hearing was for our Lord, that he heard these words, and they shaped and formed his entire life. They enabled him to do what he did, going to the cross, carrying your sin and mine, giving himself for the salvation of the world. Of course, that was a couple years down the road from where we see him today, when he enters the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth and sits down to teach. But even this was done in obedience to his Father, and this was done in faithfulness to his call as the promised Savior. When Jesus read the Old Testament, he knew, or he came to understand, that this laid out his entire life and purpose in the words of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. Consider Psalm 40, which says this: "You have given me an open ear. Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." He came as one who had an open ear and whose heart was ready to delight in the word and law and calling of his Father to do his will. Or the prophet Isaiah, who wrote of the Christ, "Morning by morning he awakens me. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn back. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." His ear was open to do the will of his Father. His ears were open also to hear the cries of his people in their need. And this is why he has come. And it is why he has come in the flesh. Our Lord, when he was born with those intricate, perfect ears, and our Lord, when he was crucified with what I imagine to be mangled and bloodied ears, but always open to the word and will of his Father. In that synagogue of Nazareth, when with deliberation and care he took the scroll that was given to him and he opened it to the words of the prophet Isaiah, we can see his entire ministry and life laid out. These are the words that he read: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Spirit of the Father is on the Son. And this is what he has come to do, You might have noticed that the verb there that he uses of what he has come to do is primarily the word for preach or proclaim. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came in the flesh, and he comes to us still to do something with words. Because he believed and he knew that his words had authority and power to do exactly what he said, to forgive sins, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to give liberty to those who are captives. What does it mean by those who are captives? I think about those who are captives through their ears to lies and things that are untrue. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 with Eve and the serpent. It didn't start with Eve's eyes. It started with her ears. The first thing the serpent did was speak. Did God really say? And then he said, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The first seeds of doubt and unbelief were planted in Eve through her ears. It is those false beliefs that then changed her heart, and that's what caused her eyes to look at the world around her differently, to see that fruit not as something forbidden, but as something that she ought to take and have. And so she did. It started with her ears. I think we should consider that. Consider your own life. What are you hearing? What are your ears open to? I mean, you could probably take a half an hour this afternoon and just make an inventory. My ears. Okay, listening to the TV. How many hours a week? Listening to the news. How many hours a week? Podcasts. How many hours a week? How many hours a week trying to do all of those things at the same time? Are my ears open to what teachers? What voices? Are my ears open to the needs of the people around me? Am I hearing them? Or am I shut off from that? We could even say, what conversations are going on inside of our heads? What are we telling ourselves? And don't ignore the fact that whatever we hear, whatever we take in our ears, we will begin to believe it. And it will begin then to shape and form our lives. It's time to take an inventory of our hearing. Because there is one who wishes to enter our ears, and there is one who wishes to give himself to us through our ears, and there is one who desires to be planted in our hearts and so to shape our lives and who we are. And it is our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the captivity that we have. He knows the captivity that we have to the things that we hear and listen to, and he knows the captivity that we have to the things that we tell ourselves and the voices that are circling in our own heads. And he has come to set you free. He has come to tell you that that is not the last or the final or even the true word about who you are or about what God has in store for you. You are not captive to the lies. You are not captive to the self-talk. Our Lord has come to make you captive to his word. He desires you to be free and at liberty, and to live as one who has not ears simply tuned in to all the noises of the world, or ears that are stuffed against the voices of the world, but rather he has come to open your ears so that you can hear him and you can hear those around you. That's why Jesus went to the synagogue in Nazareth, teaching God's holy word to his people at a holy time and in a holy service at a holy place. And that is why he's come to you this day, to put God's word into your ears, his people, at this holy time and this holy service in this holy place, so that what he said to them then would be true here today as well. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Or as it says in the original language, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Jesus Christ is coming into your ears now. With all the gifts that he won for you on the cross, with all the things that he set out to do in his ministry, he is coming to give good news, and he is giving it to you. He has come to give you that liberty, to give you open ears to hear your God and your neighbor, to set free those who are oppressed. Dear friends, the same one who was obedient to the will of his Father, the same one who had an open ear to do what his Father gave him to do, is the one who carried out the work that was needed for us. And he hung on the cross. And can you imagine what he heard while he hung there? All of the things that were being planted into his ears and into his heart, that he would believe a lie. Well, the Father must not care about you, because he'd come down and rescue you now if he loved you. And he held on to the word that he'd been given. Even with all the other voices chirping in his ears, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And for you today, in your ears, Jesus would have you hear that your sins are forgiven, and that those other voices are not telling the truth, and that you belong to him. You are a member of his flock. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I call them each by name." His voice, dear friends, that's why we are gathered here, because he is speaking to us again. It's as if our Lord steps off the pages of the scriptures in Nazareth, like he comes out of the book of Isaiah and steps into their midst. And today for us, like he comes off the pages of Luke and is standing right here saying, "You are mine, and I have loved you with an everlasting love. And my ears were open to my Father to serve you, and my ears are open to your cries and your pleas. And today, I've come again into your ears." And we pray, "Lord, open our ears. You were rejected in Nazareth. Let us not reject you. They were embittered and hardened against you, thinking that you were too ordinary, too homegrown. Do not allow us to be embittered or unbelieving, but open our ears that we might learn and hear and yield to you, Jesus, and to the grace that you bring, to the forgiveness you offer, to the life and salvation that you have. Blessed are those who hear and believe. Amen." The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. The second special rite that we have today is the rite of admitting to Holy Communion prior to confirmation. I'd like to invite forward Madison Bergeron and Lydia Johnson, and our parents as well. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, Madison, Elizabeth, and Lydia Ellen,
were born again as God's children and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Madison and Livia have received instruction and have been examined by me as pastor regarding their sin and their understanding of the sacrament of the altar. Madison and Livia, you are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian with these words: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. You are invited by our Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you to live as the children of God you have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord? Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper, he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others?
Yes, I believe.
Do you intend to continue to hear and receive the word of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life? Then say, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper, to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Andrew and Melinda, Russell and Kelly, and members of the congregation, the whole church shares with you the responsibility and concern for Madison and Livia's ongoing instruction and spiritual care. I now ask you, will you intercede for these young women in prayer, and as much as you are able, give them your counsel and aid, that in communion with the church, they may continue to grow up, to lead a godly life, to lead godly lives to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ? Then answer, we will, with the help of God.
We will, with the help of God.
Congregation, would please stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, loved the young and called them to himself. We ask you to bless Madison and Livia. Strengthen them in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, so that they may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others, to the praise and honor of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith. Amen. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his holy supper, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In thanksgiving to the Lord of Zion, who has shown pity to our fallen world and set us free from sin and death, and in thanksgiving for Christ, in whom the appointed time of favor has come for all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, that Christ's name would be declared among all peoples and his grace received with delight in every place, let us pray to the Lord.
For hearts, minds, and ears, eager to hear the word of God and understand it, that we may receive that word in faith, our days be sanctified by it, and his commandments be put into practice among us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our pastor and his family, our congregation, and Emmanuel Lutheran in Leland, that the Lord would work all things for good according to his purposes and grant us his peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who govern our communities and country, that they would be given wisdom and courage to lead, that they would follow God's will rather than man's whims, and that our Father would grant us willingness to support them with our prayers and encouragement. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all expectant mothers, especially for Kelly and Rachel, that they may be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the comfort of those who mourn and the care of those who need healing, especially for John, recovering from surgery, Brian, who is hospitalized, Bruce, awaiting surgery, Lee, in hospice care, Joyce, through her radiation, and Trina, Susan, and all who mourn for Margaret, that the great physician would mend the bodies and uplift the spirits of all who need his compassion. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith and gratitude among us, that we would not despise the Lord who has come with favor to deliver us and who gives cleansing and strength in his blessed sacrament, and that he would continue to dwell among us graciously. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 19, a psalm of prophecy. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your eye, in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voices go out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from his heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, and righteousness altogether. More to be desired than they are of gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the dripping of the honeycombs. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from my hidden faults. Keep back your servant also for presumptuous sins. Let them not have domain over me, that I shall be blameless and the innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.